How are you?
I'm great, thanks. Thinking it might be time for another lightning round. A quick questions. Few topics, few guests, and me. And this one is a real catch-all, but they're all coming from you guys. So let's go. And first up, where do you get your hair cut? Salon, maybe barbershop. Maybe it's the classic one with the pole out front, the red and white and blue stripes. And one of you asked, what's the deal with that? The barber poles, because they're pretty old. And I thought, who might know about this? You know who? The Farmer's Almanac people, because they've been around a long time. And yeah, they tell farmers the weather.
But really, the almanac has always been about interesting little tidbits, trivia, if you will.
And this is interesting trivia. And it's kind of dark and it's kind of gross. So sorry in advance, but here we go. Anyway, that was Peter Geiger. He's the editor.
Well, but I think the barber pole goes back to the Middle Ages.
Yeah, and back then, the job description was longer than hair and beards. They were barber surgeons, not like full surgeons. And listen, you wouldn't have wanted full surgery back then either, but barber surgeons.
So then barbers took on the duties of treatment for wounds, broken bones, taking out your teeth, bloodletting, especially bloodletting. So if you had a disease or something, to let blood out of that part of your body, thinking that it would cure you. Regular surgeons felt that was minuscule for them, so barbers became these barber surgeons.
Told you it was gross. It's going to get worse. Early advertising was this. They would just leave a bucket outside the door with what they'd collected, so walking by, you would definitely know they were in that line of work. Yeah. And the bloodletting was just because they thought that, whatever the pain was that was there was because there was too much blood in that area, so they just started poking holes.
Well, that essentially, that is what bloodletting meant back in those days, yes. You haven't had a disease, you just let some blood out of that part of your body.
And it's so terrible.
Well, it was probably relatively inexpensive compared to today, but yes, that's what they did.
I've said this before on the show, be glad you live now, it's way better. Eventually, the bucket ads were banned.
So they started these poles, which had the red and the white in Europe. Red and white. So red for the blood, white is for the bandages. Once you use the bandages, you kind of wash them off, put them back up, and use them again.
Also lovely.
But the pole itself became a symbol of what a barber was. So when you get to the United States, we decided to add the blue.
And nobody's really sure why. Maybe it was for the veins. Maybe it was just patriotism. End of this story is eventually barbers were told, knock it off. If somebody needs their tooth pulled, you go to the dentist. Speaking of jobs, next up, dermatologist. Mine's in one of those huge medical buildings. Always feels like so much is happening. But we're here for itching. Question is, why does scratching an itch feel so good? And who do we have?
Yeah, hi, this is Dr. Marie Chin. I'm a board-certified dermatologist in private practice in the San Francisco Bay Area. On Instagram, I'm Dr. Jin Skin.
That is a great handle. I love the rhyme.
Itching is a natural defense. You have an insect on your skin.
Or your skin's dry, or you've been in the grass and you're allergic, or you're really stressed. There's all sorts of reasons. Your skin, not just some kind of covering. Yeah, it's part of a system.
Basically, itching comes when something produces the nerve endings of your cells to be stimulated. And then those nerve endings go to your spinal cord and the brain. And they create what we call a scratch or a rubbing reflex.
Yeah, the nerve endings are saying, something's going on here. Can you investigate? So you scratch, and the bug flies away, and then it's easy and you're done. If it's more complicated, if it's one of the other reasons and causes, then you keep on scratching. And there's some thought that those nails of yours, well, they're actually doing a little bit of damage.
Like I said, nerve-brain response, that can produce certain chemicals to be released.
And these chemicals are the feel-good chemicals. So the script kind of gets flipped, right? First, we had the nerve ending say, hey, brain, investigate. Now they're saying, hey, thanks for doing that, but now it's hurting. Something is hurting. In comes the serotonin, the pain reliever, happiness chemical, and you feel really good. You put those together, that's the full feeling. That's why it's hard to stop, too. Pain from scratching dulls the itch. Feels good because of the serotonin, but some of the science types, they also think that same serotonin, it can kind of jump the tracks sometimes, get over onto the itch receptors, and make the itch worse. And then our mom was right, who said, scratching the itch only makes it worse.
If it becomes this vicious cycle, then it can actually cause more harm.
One more quick thing. Scratching also so satisfying because, as we've talked about before in other shows, our brains love shortcuts and they love distractions. And this one is a quick one compared to other things. So if you hurt, Advil takes time. Massages, they take time. Scratching is like a complete replacement for that itchy feeling as long as you're doing it. Also, distraction pro tip, because this links back to the other thing, blood. If you don't like blood draws, put an ice pack around your neck.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Another distractor.
Yeah, you're going to feel way more of the ice than the other thing. Now, last one. Jay in Michigan, also somebody else, but I couldn't find the email, wanted to know, for ships, you know, cruise ships and battleships and regular boats, why she? Why do we refer to them as female? So I called the Navy. Guy Nasuti is a historian with the Naval History and Heritage Command, Washington, D.C. He says he thinks this goes way back, and it was all about protection.
I honestly believe that's where it all comes from. They found, some 6,000 years ago, figureheads, you know, various goddess deities and things like that, that essentially just became talismans for protection.
Yeah, they were right there, carved into the front of the ships. You've seen these.
We also have to consider, you know, sailors, many sailors, especially back in the olden days, were probably illiterate.
So even if your boat had a name, you didn't know. You just looked at the lady on the front. There she is. If you go closer to now, was this everybody or no?
The British in the U.S. typically referred to their ships as she or some female pronoun, while the French, the Russians, the Germans usually referred to ships as he. The Chinese really were the only ones I could find that generally referred to ships as it.
He says there are some other ideas. Latin word for ship is feminine. It's where we get the word navy. There's also some thought that when you're out there all alone, you're thinking of family, who you're dating, or even mom, you want to go home. The ship is home for the time being, and you're homesick, so it all kind of comes together. What was it like out there? Open ocean?
Sure. You get a real good sense of just how my sort of experience, just how tiny you really are. I mean, you're this little speck. That kind of hit me one time, you know, just being out there in the middle of the Atlantic.
Picture one of those Hollywood zoom outs, you know, they keep going and going and going, and then you're just a little bit of a speck. For you, and then we'll end here, but for you, was it it? Was it she? Was it a nickname? Because usually, I mean, it's nicknames, yeah?
U.S. naval ships always have a name. I served aboard a ship called USS Nassau. We called the ship the Big Nasty.
That's a good one. The Eisenhower, Ike, the Lincoln, Abe, the Enterprise, the Big E. Thanks for listening today. Thanks for listening all the other days, too. We'll be back next Thursday. Maybe we'll do How Deep is the Ocean, or Have You Heard About This Secret Vault in Delaware, or How Does Memory Work? I'm working on all those. Send me more. I've got questions at odyssey.com. And we'll see you next Thursday, or whenever. Charlie, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7.